give ourselves to you, Lord. We are yours, Father. You bought us with a price. You bought us with the flesh and the blood of our big brother. And we submit ourselves today to your word, Lord. Today our bodies will be made whole. Our spirits will be alert. Our minds will be set in order. Our bodies will obey what our spirits declare. And we stand and know that you are God today. And today we receive food, spiritual nourishment for our spiritual bodies. And today we will be empowered to change this region together in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Turn to two or three people, love on them, and tell them that God loves them this morning, and wow, they sure look good. Thank you, praise team. I appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew, God is good, is he not? Mm-mm-mm. I need to get into this thing. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis. Whew. We started Thursday night, and this will be in one of my announcements, but on Thursday nights now we started having prayer meeting. And I think it was somewhere around six or seven men were in here off and on through Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Some of us stayed later. Some came earlier. And the men of this church just hit their face before the Lord just to see this place become what it's called to become. And before we get into the Word, I just want to commend that. And I want to commend the men of this church, because when we have something or something goes on, I've never been in a church where men just dig in and help. Most of the time, good churches are built on the backs of good women, and that's got to change. It's time for the men of God to stand up and be men of God. Amen? And that don't just mean sit back sipping your coffee acting like you somebody. Amen? Now, listen, we can turn it up if y'all can't hear me. Okay. Genesis chapter 22. Some of y'all need to take the sound of that rain as abundance about to hit your life. Amen. I heard that as I was standing right over there. I heard that. The more, the heavier you hear that rain, the more you just need to take it. You need to take it. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Isn't it amazing that he had to say the words, who you love? I'll move on from that. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for burnt offerings and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. Stay, and the lad and I will go yonder to worship, and we will come back to you. Today, it's time for this church and this group, although you're very intellectual, very word knowledgeable, very understanding of what the Holy Ghost is doing, we do have those times where we have to get back to the very basic reason of why we do things. And you came to know Jesus because of an act of worship. And trust me, I am a word man. I run in the word camp. I run with word men. But I was raised in worship. And there's something different about me than even the people that I run with will tell me, you have an element of worship in your life that we never had. You are the one that can bring word and worship together. That's the anointing on my life. Now, that anointing only works if the people in this church work with it. Abraham did some things here to go worship. You understand, he never paid attention to what was asked of him, just who asked him to do it. And there's a very real key there that we tend to miss. If we don't understand, while we're trying to be intellectually dishonest with ourselves, we try to make out like because we come in here and heard three songs, we've worshiped. And I have a very real fear that in today's society and today's churches that we go to, we don't have a very real understanding of what worship is anymore. We take for granted that when people come into the church after a few services, they should just assimilate to what we think and they should know the things that we know. It was almost 2 years before I understood what the word anointing meant, but yet I used it because it's the church culture. It was years before I understood what deliverance meant, but yet I used the word. It was years before I understood what slain in the spirit meant. I used to look at it from an outsider's perspective and think, man, people just passing out. And the truth of the matter is, we haven't stopped and discipled people into worship. And we haven't discipled people into the Word. And we talked about this in the men's meeting. Discipleship has left the church, and with it has come the knowledge of why we do the things that we do. We just, because of, especially those of us of the Pentecostal persuasion, tend to come in and think because we've had an exuberant service that we've had church. And I am very fearful from the world that I came from in music and playing in clubs since I was 12 years old and they having to sneak me in the back door to get me on a drum set and all those things that I did when I came into the church. Had I not had a real worship experience with God and just heard the loud music in the Pentecostal realm, I would have just traded one dance for another and not understood why I was doing what I was doing. And that's where we're at today. And Abraham went to take a moment to experience worship. He never mentioned his son other than that he's going with me and he's going up the mountain with me. He never mentioned the fact that there was actually... See, what we do is we take what God says to us and we go talk to the three people we trust and we bear it out. And sometimes you just need to hush. Sometimes there's things that God has given you that's so intimate and so personal and it's so out there, there'll never be an opportunity for anybody to understand it. You notice he didn't tell Sarah. Mama ain't letting him take that baby off. Understand, he was a teenager. He could have run off from that old man. But he respected him, which is a lost art in today's society. So he goes forward. He says to the young lads, stay here with the donkey. Me and the boy going to worship. And we will come back to you. Now those of us in the faith persuasion will take that as the greatest faith statement ever made. That if something's going to happen on this mountain, if I kill this boy, God's going to raise him from the dead, or God's going to reinvent him or clone him right there in front of us. All these things. But the truth of the matter is, he wasn't even thinking about that because he knew the promise. See, when you really worship, a real worship experience, I'm not talking about just coming in here and just having a good time. A real worship experience will change you. There's times I come in here in the mornings and it's just me and God and I walk out and I mean my whole world has been turned upside down with one breath because of worship. It's not the amount of prayer. If you really research, Abraham's telling his servants, look, the boy and I, we're going to go lay before the Lord. That's what he's saying. We're going to go lay before the Lord. Now look, the act of laying before the Lord is not, that's just an outward act of what's going on inwardly. Your shout is just an outward act of what's going on inwardly. Your worship, the exuberance of it or the quietness of it, is an outward act of what's going on inwardly. But we never have anything going on inwardly, and our outward actions are just trade-offs. And we have sad imitations of a real thing. Y'all remember New Coke? How many of y'all remember New Coke? Y'all don't remember that. You remember that? Worst mistake Coke ever made. They didn't ask nobody. They said, this is better. Try this. Sales plummeted. Pepsi took over the market, and they're still fighting to get that market back. Why is that? Because they released an imitation of something that everybody already liked. And we have to be real careful as Christians that we don't release an imitation of something that we experience purely. And because we were blessed in this moment and in this season in this way one time, that we make a religion out of that thing and we forget to worship. It's not about what song they sing. It's not about what I preach. It's really not about how we act. It's how we worship. Do you understand? When I first went into the ministry, see, when I was raised up under Pastor Osby's church, and the choir there was multicultural church, and the choir was thumping, man. And we had it down. It didn't matter the song. We was all just rocking. Everybody going right, everybody going left. So I'd go preach somewhere, and it'd be white folks. You know, white folks clap on the one and the three. Sometimes in between, because we ain't got no rhythm. Black folks on the two and the four. I'm a two and a four guy, just from my musical background. And I'd stand there, and I'm used to, come, let's have a little talk with Jesus. And they're going, let's have a little talk with Jesus, let us tell him. How do I worship here? And I had to settle in to knowing him. Because not everybody's like me. You're not ever going to find yourself in a place that's perfect for you in this fleshly world. But a worship experience changes everything. And the reason I can preach sonship the way that I do is because I worshiped. And I found myself before him. And I found myself in a place I couldn't describe. And he spoke to me what my call was and what the thing I was supposed to do for the rest of my life. And as I begin to release that thing, I see it come up out of me more and more and more. And it makes me want to worship more and more and more. A worship experience will change you. Not make you better, but make you want to be better. Worship puts you in a place where you realize there's a whole lot you don't have. Faith puts you in a place, and the Word puts you in a place where you see the things you can have. But if you don't know you're missing something through worship, how are you ever going to use your faith to get it? Because if you're believing for something that you don't know God wants to put into your life, you're now coveting. Y'all heard me tell you a couple weeks ago about slapping the Cadillac, wanting it. That's not God. And Abraham took Isaac. Isn't it funny? He said, take the boy whom you love. It's funny how God wants the best stuff. And the sad truth is we've gotten to a place in church where we come in here and we give God the leftover. We don't let this day start our week. We let this day be the last day that we can just say, thank God we made it through another one. But he's wanting your best. If there's an obstacle that this church is having to overcome, it's the fact that you could come in here and praise, and you could come in here and worship, whether they're here or not. And we don't get that because we've based everything on this spirit of performance, not the Holy Ghost. Worship. The time is coming, Jesus says, the time is coming and is now at hand where those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. That was in the book of John. Y'all don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you real quick. The book of John, Jesus goes to Jacob's well. He says he needs to go out of Samaria, and he goes to Jacob's well, and he waits all day for this woman to come. Y'all know the story. I'll tell you where it's at just so you can reference it. It's in John chapter 4. The first part of the chapter is this whole story. And Jesus changed his whole itinerary. Now, he's about to fly out and preach somewhere else. But he changes everything. And he stands by this well all day long. Now, on behalf of the busy people of Walker County, I ain't got all day for nothing. But he stood there all day because she needed him. Because she needed him. Now listen. Listen to what happens. A woman of Samaria came to drink the water. This is verse 7 if you're following along. Chapter 4, verse 7 of the book of John. A woman of Samaria came to draw of the water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away and to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Let me tell you what's going on here. You really need to research to find this out. But what you don't understand, y'all read this just as a story. What y'all don't understand is in her mind, because of the life she's living and the sin that she's in, she's thinking that Jesus is hitting on her. That's the truth. If you're a young man in your 30s and you're looking for somebody of the female persuasion and you want to try to hook up's the wrong word, but you want to go try to intellectually discuss the possibilities of two consensual adults. She thought he was trying to hook up. And and Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you'd never thirst again." Now listen, has it crossed your mind that by now we've realized they ain't talking about water no more? Because she'd been married for, what's the word say? Let's read it. How many times has she been married? I can't remember. 5. Worse than I thought. And shacking up with number 6, which means she's still married to number 5, which means the issue she got. And Jesus is telling her, "Look, if you knew who I was, that thirsting had never happened again." Do we really think that she walked away from there and never drank water ever again? Isn't it amazing how people have conversations about things and they're not really talking about the thing they're talking about, but yes, we just don't seem to understand that they're actually subliminally letting each other know that we're trying to let you know this, but we don't tell you that. Why can't people just be straight? Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you'd never even worry about this ever, ever, ever again." And she's trying to skirt around the fact because she's flirting. She thinks he's flirting with her, and he has to call her out on it. And he said, "Go get your husband." "Oh, I perceive that thou was a prophet." Y'all look at this from different eyes. Then what does she immediately do? Y'all know this story? She immediately begins to tell her doctrine. "We worship in the mountains." Now the Christians come out. Now the church person. I tell y'all all the time, I don't ever meet y'all here. I meet y'all at y'all's house at 2:30 a.m. while I'm banging on the door. That's who you are. Here, y'all church folk. And they're having this discussion about water. See, because Jesus didn't even have anything to drink with, much less draw. So she thinks he's there for her. And he is there for her. But he's there for a part of her she hadn't tapped into yet. And when you realize that you come in here every Sunday morning, you drag yourself in here like a corpse and throw yourself down until they said, "They didn't start the right song, so I'm going to sit here for the first 4 bars until I just decide I want to get up." Listen, he's here waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And if you knew who was here waiting for you, you would come in here not even worried about what song was. Listen, if we really worship, they couldn't even get the first chord off. This place would be on fire. Chairs would be piled up. Somebody's talking about Jesus. Right? Now listen. Understand this. Jesus said to her in verse 23. She's given, let me read it to you. She's given her doctrine. "Our fathers worshipped in the mountain," verse 20. "And you're a Jews, and the Jews that worship in Jerusalem, the place where we ought to worship. that you say that's where we ought to worship. Jesus said this. Now listen, woman, we believe me this hour, or woman, believe me this hour, the hour is coming that you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. He said, you worship here, my people worship in Jerusalem, and we're going to keep arguing over it, and we're both missing it, because the hour's coming where we got to worship in spirit and in truth. We got to come together in this thing. And he's trying to let her know that things are changing right before her very eyes. And it so affected her. Isn't it amazing that they had this conversation about water, but yet they weren't talking about water, but yet they were still talking about water? And how stupid is it for us to come in here and to not worship until the song we like comes on? And that's almost as dumb as taking a glass of water and setting it there, go running for a mile, come back and just staring at it going, wow, that would be awesome, and never drink it. But that's what we do in church. We come in here and we talk about the things we need from God. And we come in here and we talk about the things that we need to be released from. And we talk about the things that we need to be delivered from. And we talk about the anointing. And we talk about growth. And we talk about all those things. But we never open up that part that we've hidden. We never open up the part that we hold back. We never lay ourselves before God. And it's not about people noticing you. But if you ever really worship, you don't care who's looking. It's not about people seeing you. It's not about people understanding what you're doing. Who cares? Let me tell you something. When I was at Living Word, right before we started this church, we went back a few times just to go back home. Just to get away from all the stuff that had hurt us. And there was a lady there that we had never met before. But she was loud. Man, she was loud. And I loved it. Loved every minute of it. And man, I'm talking about, she was shouting during the offering. Buddy, that's worship. She was excited. And I actually had a guy come up to me. He said, yeah, she'd been here, how long, April? About 6 months at that time, 6 or 8 months. He goes, it just don't take all that. Now, I'm not trying to shake the boat because I don't go to this church anymore. Not 20 minutes later, Pastor Owensby's preaching and he calls this lady out. And she's walking the front with him. And he's telling her story. And he actually said the words, some of y'all may think it don't take all that, but 6 months ago she was sleeping in a car in the parking lot. She didn't have a job. She didn't have money. She didn't have food to eat. Of course, now she had a home and she was a worshiper. She tapped in. Her spirit got a hold to the truth. And let me tell you something. You can run that mile and stare at that water sitting on your counter and not drink it. But you have got to understand, yes, the word is meat to your spirit. But the worship is water. And how is it that we're spiritually dehydrated? You ever been dehydrated? I was dehydrated when I had the flu. I was booger nut crazy. I didn't know who. She had to call an ambulance to take me to the hospital. I didn't know who I was. I don't get sick like that. I was so dehydrated, I couldn't think. The doctor said, what's wrong? I don't know. Has it ever crossed our mind that if worship is to the spirit what water is to the body, you don't even know who you are in Christ because you're not laying it down and saying, fill me up. Get this junk out of me that's holding me back and fill me up with what I need, because I've got to walk somewhere. I've got to go somewhere. I've got to be something. I've got to do something. Somebody's waiting on me to tell them about Jesus. And if I go looking like this, they're going to think he's just like everybody else. And he's not. He loves you with an undying and unfailing love. He loves you with the fact that he would lay his body down to be torn open so yours can be put back together. And you want to argue over who's sitting next to you on a pew that you paid for. Thank God we ain't got pews. The only reason he waited at the well was because she needed him. And I'm looking at 50, 60, however many people are in this house. Y'all need him. We all need him. You're thirsty. Y'all are getting the word. Your diet is secure. I'm teaching you the word. But you're just thirsty. There are things that worship does for me that no confession ever does. There's things when I come in here and it's just me and Jesus that get fixed that nobody ever knows about. And I'm telling you this, it is time, and the time is now, where the true worshipers of God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? That means you get the truth and you understand that you are divided. Your soul is here, your spirit's here, that if you can ever get your soul out of the way and your spirit can tap into what God's saying, now you're worshiping. But we don't do that. We trade one song for another. We trade one dance for another. We trade one shout for another. We won't lay down what stops us. And has it ever crossed your mind that Jesus waited all day at the well because she needed Him? Because if she would ever, and if you would ever worship Him, you would not bow your knee to everything that keeps catching you every day. If you would bow your knee to Him, the relationships that seem to pull you in a wrong direction and the distractions that seem to pull you in a wrong direction and the phone calls that I have to deal with, they can't pull me in the way they need to pull me if my knees bowed to Him first. You ever tried to drag somebody on their knees? He's first. In spirit and in truth. Amen. You're entering into a season in your life, and I'm speaking prophetically. Listen to me. I said this in the meeting. The spirit of acceleration is on this church. I've said it over and over and over, and I'll continue to say it until the Lord says different. The spirit of acceleration is on this church. The good, the bad, and the ugly is accelerating. And I'm telling you, it's time to go to the well and get some of this ugly dealt with, because it will manifest. I'm telling you because I love you. I'm telling you as your pastor. I'm telling you because I care. And I'm telling you as somebody who's experienced all this stuff. Listen, I am the first one to say I need to worship too. Because it's never been built on big me and little you. It's love and love because He first loved us. And we're trying to do this thing on charisma. And we're trying to do this thing on talent. And I'm talking about the church at large. And what we've done is we've placed ourselves in a situation where we're very good at worshiping worship, but we're not worshiping. We're very good at having faith in faith, but we don't have faith. Come on now. We're very good at masking everything that's stopping us. And we don't understand that the very thing that's stopping us is the very thing He's just asking you to talk to Him about. She thought He was hitting on Him. And yes, He was trying to become intimate, but it was agreement. Intimately entangled with agreement for freedom. Had nothing to do with the flesh. You have to understand something about this word. We take this word and we try to apply it to this flesh, and thank God we can have great things. But you have to understand, this word was cut for spirit. Just like marriage covenant was cut for the flesh. It's a different covenant. It's covered in the overall document, but it's a different covenant. You ain't going to be married in heaven. That's for the flesh. That's for here. That's for this fleshly world. And God is trying to get you to tap into something spiritual that everything fleshly stops you, that you get pulled away from. You get twisted and turned and upset and pulled around. And how in the world did this happen? And how did I find myself here? These are things I have cried out to God for. But it's because I wasn't worshiping. I had all the words. I had the vernacular, I had the charisma, I had the confessions, I had all that. But I wasn't worshiping because I had forgotten that he was waiting on me the whole time. And what we don't understand is we've got to get back to a place of boldness. And I'm telling you, I am there. I will no longer profess something I'm unwilling to possess. It's time for you to stop shouting about something you're unwilling to go after. I'm telling you, it's time for you to stop coming in here and perpetrating something that you're not willing to go out there and perpetuate into this world. God has called you to be great, not good. Good brings failure. Greatness brings solid foundation. And it's time for you to understand. Listen. You, oh God. You, just like this church, are in your season. You're in it. Quit asking God for it. Quit trying to seek it out. Quit trying to make things happen. Could it be that we've got all the talent and we've got the looks and we've got the way of doing things and we've got the facilities? Could it be that we're just nice enough and just articulate enough and just able to do things right? Could it be that we know how to network and we know how to coordinate? We know how to put. Could it be that we know how to do all these things and we're trying to do them and we're not letting God do His thing in our life that He shines forth? Because it's never been about a man or a woman. Ever. Except Jesus. Except Jesus. And the minute that you put Jesus back, do you understand that your body is mostly water? Do you understand that? Do you understand that that is a physical representation of your spirit? Do you understand that I have to eat 5 meals a day, but if you're eating properly, you should eat 5-6 meals a day. But even if you're just eating 3 meals a day, even with that, you must drink more and more and more water. Has it ever crossed your mind that for every confession that you better have an opportunity of worship? Because if you ever have a real worship experience, you change. Not your circumstances. The guy at work is still going to be a jerk. But it changes you. She thought Jesus was flirting with him. And within 3 sentences, he changed her to the point that she went and said, "There's a prophet. And he is the Messiah." Because she experienced something. Now let me tell you something. If you base your life on word with no worship, you're going to be a dried up, rude prude, and I'm just tired of talking to you. If you base your life all on worship, you're never going to have a solid foundation to get victory. All you're going to be is somebody that floats around. But if you can marry the two and put in you the food of the word and the water of worship, it is a moment in time that will change you for the rest of your life. The night I gave my life to Jesus, I worshiped. I didn't know what I was doing. I know I was in a place I can't describe. I know that I can still hear the music, but I can't tell you what was playing. I can smell the smell to the point that it apprehends me when I smell it. I freeze whenever I do. And I used to think it was an oil or a perfume, but it's God with me. Used to freak me out. I'm like, "You're here." He's like, "I'm all the time here." But it changed everything. And I'm telling you this. Before you leave here, one breath of worship. Just one. Just one. Just one moment where you don't worry about your kids or your money or your family that's crazy or your job that's driving you crazy or how blessed you are. Let it all go. One moment. Just one moment. It'll change everything. And if you'll become what this word promises, you'll see things in your life like never before. I'm seeing an acceleration in my life over the past couple years that it took me 18 years to get to. But I slowed myself down. Because I thought I knew this and I thought I knew that. And the basics. See, that's what we're going over the next few weeks. We're getting back to the basics. We're getting back to the place that you don't have to come in here and be so intellectually challenged by sonship that you got to go home and lay out 20 scriptures and figure out how you are a son when you're a female. That's not the point. You worship. And it'll all come together. Oh, I'm going to give you the word. Y'all ain't going to get away from that. But I'm going to do my job, but you do yours. Because let me tell you something. There's something about a body that worships together. That this place becomes a light. And people are lined up waiting on the next service. Asking, can you just put chairs out here so we can hear you? Can you run a speaker out here so we can hear you? We can't get in. We got to start another service because there's so many people. Because one act of worship. One experience with a God that can change everything. Because you're willing to be changed. And if you're willing to be changed, that means you've realized where you're at, you got yourself. And that's as good as you can do it. But He's better. He's better, amen? Stand to your feet with me. Come on, just worship. Right now, one moment. Just one act of expectation. One act of knowing that He's waiting on you. One act of laying everything aside. You just need a moment. Just a second. Just an opportunity to know that He cares again. And I'm telling you, He never stopped caring about you. Oh God, thank You for what You're doing, Lord. One act of worship. One act. One act. One act. Thank You, Lord. Come on, just if you can, lift your hands up and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost across this place. Come on, get your soul. Listen, you pray in the Holy Ghost to get your soul out of the way. That's what that's for. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We worship You in spirit and in truth. We're hungry for You and You alone, Lord. We thank You for prosperity and we thank You for healing and we thank You for all the trappings of God. But if those things never manifest, we are hungry for You. You've been too good to us for too long, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, God. We thank You for the opportunity to just love on You today. Oh, Jesus, we thank You that we have an opportunity to just know that You're good once again. I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. Listen, this is not going to be one of them services where everybody gets to come to the front and get hands laid on them. You got to worship. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, today is the day that everything can change if you'll just let it all go. And I'm saying, when you walk out of this place, don't pick it up again. Don't pick it up again. Hallelujah. Indaraba. Korobo solamase. Indaraba soromo solamase. Kendere. Ilamaso koshkolama. Oh, I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. I bless You. Glory to Your name, Lord. Glory to Your name. Lord, I thank You that these chairs are full of people who are hungry for You. I thank You that people are coming from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. God, I thank You that the people in this room are getting on the phone and calling family members and friends and telling them, I've found a place. We don't have to go yonder anymore. We found a place. And we're here to change this region together. Father, I thank You that today is the last day where we look back. But we look forward and we know that You've got us. and everything's accelerating. We hear the sound of abundance, of rain, and we walk in it today, Lord. Today, we thank you for it, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We won't try to do it ourselves and our ways any longer, God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for the opportunity to walk in your goodness. Thank you that you loved me when I was unlovable. Thank you that you loved me when I was in the mess I was in. Thank you for bringing me out of it. Thank you for waiting for me, God. Thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for waiting for me, Lord. And I thank you that today, oh God, this group, these people, will walk out of here today and never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, never the same. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. I thank you that all hindrance has been removed. In Jesus' mighty name. Y'all get anything from that today? God is a good God, isn't he? All the time. All the time. All the time. Before I do announcements and offering, I want you to just turn to somebody. Just turn to somebody and just love on them for a second. Just love on them for a second. Just turn to somebody and just love on them. Just tell them, listen, God loves you. And tell them we're changed in Jesus' name. Tell them we're never going to be the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.